Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's good, amen. You know, you read through those passages. Can God require you to forgive? Have you ever thought about why? Because he forgave you. People say, well, did you notice that Pastor Mike didn't give a number on what the right sacrifice or gift is? Did you notice there was no number given? Did you notice that the heart motivation is dealt with before the harvest? Woo! I love this spot right here. I think I'll stay in it for a little bit. You say, well, what are you implying? First of all, we didn't write the verses. So I'm not implying anything. This is the wonderful thing about the Lord. You can snow someone else. You know what I mean by that? You can pretend to be a certain way with people. Have you ever done this? I've watched this happen in church, but other places too, where somebody has come to me and said something, you know, to me derogatory about someone else, and then that person is in the same area where you're in, and that person that just badmouthed them to you goes up to him and acts like they're just buddies. Have you ever seen that before? Am I the only one? I saw a lot of heads nod. But you can't do that with God. And so let me take the pressure off of you, okay? Everybody could just go like this. Just the pressure's off, okay? If, let's just say you've been in a church or been a part of a ministry or seen things in ministry that were legitimately wrong concerning money, okay? It was legitimate. First of all, God didn't do that to you. So don't judge God based on his servants messing it up. Amen. Okay? Because I've watched people do this. They get mad at God for what the church has done. Well, guess what? God did it perfect. So how do you think that's going to hold out in the long run? He's not your problem. So don't let the enemy twist it. Secondly, you say, don't, you know, ministries have to take up offerings, otherwise they're going under. And I've heard ministers say that. Listen to me. We're not going under. Because this was not our idea. Unless the Lord builds the house, and I will not labor in vain. I will not. I'll stand and believe God with everything till my last breath. And then I'll go on to heaven. And God will take care of me. And God will take care of you. So you say, well, get back to your point, preacher. If you just can't give here, give to the Lord somewhere. And you say, well, don't, why did you say that? For your benefit, please. Please. Give to the Lord somewhere. Don't disobey this because somebody else disobeyed this. Okay? The devil uses this tactic all the time. There's nothing new under the sun. But seed time and harvest will never end. They'll never end. I mean, you think about this. And I've said this before because the Lord said this to me. People can rail against God. They can fight against God. But you know what will never lie? A seed. If God calls it wrong, it's wrong. And if you sow wrong seed, you get wrong harvest. You know, so this is why you got to watch the world, because the world's ways will try and creep into the church. And people will say, well, you know, I'm going to sow unrighteousness, but I'm going to reap peace. I mean, you can be a crusader and picket in front of the White House, in front of the Capitol building, in front of churches. You can be a crusader for unrighteousness, and you can take on all these ways of the world and the way they think and the way they do, and you can march into places and be warrior about unrighteousness, and you will harvest death every time. Why? Because God is not mocked whatsoever a man. He will. So we better pray for mercy for these people that are sowing unrighteousness, that they'll see light. Amen? Amen? All right, let's unite our faith and pray for a couple of people. You want to? They're not here, but that's okay. There's no distance in the spirit. There are two, actually. One is Jim Donaldson, and he is part of my family, kind of a distant part. And he fell and had something fall on top of him. Is that correct? And has quite a few broken bones, and he is struggling in the hospital. And the other is John LaCroix. Now, John LaCroix I actually grew up with. I shouldn't say grew up with, but I hung out with, like, in high school and in that time of my life. And I've known him for years. And he is, I guess, currently, is this right, Patty, on life support? Is that correct? He's currently on life. He was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. How old is John? Yeah, he's 38, something like that. And ended up going back into the doctor's office, and his heart actually stopped while he was there. And so he was life flighted over to Utah, I think is where they are. Is that correct? Yeah, and he's on life support over there. So let's unite our faith, shall we? We serve a miracle-working God, and we're going to believe God for mercy in these situations and unite our faith and ask God and petition on their behalf. Father, we just come before you for Jim and for John, Lord, both. Father, you know the situation. Lord, we ask in united faith for mercy over these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you're working and that that prayers have already been offered up. So we come into agreement with those prayers that are of faith. And we thank you that you are working and moving in these people's lives, in the families, and in the individuals, Jim and John themselves, Lord, in the heart, in the bones of these bodies, in Jesus' name. We take pleasure, Satan, in telling you that you are defeated. You have been destroyed, and in the name of Jesus, we command you to take your hands off of their bodies. Lord, we thank you that by your angels and by your Holy Spirit, by your resurrection power, that you are ministering to them right now, and we thank you for your goodness. We honor you and bless you and praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Okay, good. You know, this is what's great about a church and a faith community. Because you can unite and get into God's word, amen, and it's good. All right, let's talk about a couple of success principles that'll help your life here this morning. I wanna go over to John chapter 10, and then we'll get over to James. But let's go to John chapter 10 first. Lord, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your utterance. Thank you for feeding your people, helping them, showing them, increasing. How many know your life could change right now? Just by the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 10. The Holy Spirit, our helper. If you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit, our helper. I wasn't able to hit this one, but I'm going to go back to it. And then I'm going to go over to the next one that is going to mess with your head, but bless your heart. How many know the word can do that? You notice that? It can mess with your head, but bless your heart. And then, you know, the problem is not your heart. The problem's your head. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Mike just read it. Be transformed. So anyway, John chapter 10, verse number 1. Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep do what? Hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and what? Leads them out. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Thank you, Lord, that you went before us. And the sheep follow him. Come on, say, I follow him. For they what? Know his voice. Now here's a faith confession. Say it with me. I know his voice. Now, that's different than what most people say in the middle of tough situations. You know what most people say in the middle of tough situations? I just don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. People say, is that wrong? Well, it's natural. In other words, you're searching the gray matter. How many have circled through the gray matter in your head a few times? And it, nope, just it's not there. I've looked. Are you saying we're stupid? Well, compared to God, you know, we're just kindergarten. You realize? I mean, maybe not even that high. You know. But God knows everything about everything. And he's our shepherd and we are his. Come on, I just gave somebody a trunk or treat idea right there by the scriptures. You could dress up as a sheep. Somebody got the translation on that? I want to... Right? We're his sheep. He's our shepherd. Jesus didn't say, you don't know my voice. What did he say? I know his voice. Come on, say it with me. I hear from the Holy Spirit. Come on. I hear from him. I know his voice. And he says this. Verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. See, I don't follow strange voices. I follow God voices, amen? Come on, I follow God voice. Do you follow God's voice? John chapter 14. We are his sheep and we know his voice. If you're wondering what the noise is, it's the children's church downstairs. Let's help you not be distracted. John chapter 14. I love this. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. So first, we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. We know his voice. Secondly, he gave us the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse number 16 says this. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father. How many think Jesus' prayers get answered? Whew! I'm thankful for this prayer. Now, here's what's amazing about this. Jesus prayed this long before you and I were ever on the earth. Before we ever hit dirt. Come on. Before the doctor ever went, whack! And you screamed, Jesus prayed, and that prayer was answered for you here today, even though it was prayed. Wow. That's a good word, isn't it? He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So he says this. He said, I'm going to pray, and you're going to have another what? Not hinderer. God is not trying to hinder you. He's trying to what? Help you. God's helping us. That he may what? Abide with you for, thank you, Lord. We got forever help. I am never without help. You say, what's this got to do with success? If you're never without help, you're in a good place. If Jesus is praying to the Father for you, and he sends the helper to you, you're in a good place. Now, you have to let the word define the success. You can't let the world or your own natural mind define the success. Now, we talked about this before. Before you ever do anything, success has to be defined by what? You have to hear from the Father for your life. And once you hear from the Father for your life, then you start moving forward in that. As you move forward in that, Jesus thought, what do they need? They need a helper. So I'm going to pray to the Father. I'm going to leave, but it's to their benefit. We'll get to that sooner or later here. And I'm going to send them a helper. So we are never alone. We have the helper with us, and he is with us forever. Well, it doesn't feel like he's here. I know, that's because, see, you're going by your feeling, not your faith. Jesus is true whether you or I feel like it or not. He is always right. Somebody say, Jesus is always right. He's always right. He's always right. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, thank God he sent us the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Well, the world can't receive him because it neither what? Sees him nor knows him, but what? You know him. That's another good confession right there. I know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads me. He's my helper. He guides me. He shows me. I know him. I'm his sheep, and I know his voice. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be. Wow. The Holy Spirit is where? He's right there. See, that's why if people say, we're going to go to the house of God. You is the house of God. Right? That will help you to get that understanding. Now, we come together as a group of believers, but we carry God. Jesus said that, right? What about Paul? Did Paul say it? He said, it's no longer I who, but must be true. The building is the building, but you're the house of God. This is the wonderful thing about the new covenant, the New Testament. The Old Testament, they had to carry around a building everywhere they went. You know, put the building up. Where'd the cloud go? Chase it. Hurry up. Pack it up. The cloud's moving. They pack it up, and where do they go? To the next spot, to wherever the cloud stopped. Earth stopped. All right, build the building back up. Now, Jesus hung on the cross. He died. They pulled him down. What happened to the Holy of Holies? What happened to that curtain? Now, if you ever want to see something interesting, read how thick and big that curtain was. It ripped from top to bottom. Why? Holy Spirit said, I've had enough of that place. I got to find me a heart. I got to find me a believer. And I'm going to go inside of them. Come on, think now. Genesis chapter 1, and God breathed into Adam. So what Adam lost, you and I, Jesus got us back. You realize this, that I'm a spirit, I possess a soul, and I live in a body? You realize this, that when I was born again, I said, that's enough. I had enough. I tried it my way. I'm done. Jesus, I receive you. And God went, whew. And I went from death to life, just like that. Hey, glory. You know, people get excited about their football team. How about Jesus living inside of you? I went from no dominion, no relationship, no power, no resurrection, no hope to child of God. And the devil went, oh, man, I worked on that yoke for a while. You know, and he comes and poof, it's gone. Right? The Holy Spirit is in us. He's in us. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And people say, I never knew my parents. I'm an orphan. He will not leave you as orphans. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. Well, my parents were sorry, but your Father in heaven is not. What do you mean sorry? They didn't do what they were supposed to. They were selfish. They did this. They did that. Yep. Those things hurt. How many know those things hurt? That's real hurt, right? But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, will not leave you as an orphan. God is your Father, and He loves you more than a natural parent ever could. And not just real good, you know what I mean? He's not just real good at it, He's perfect at it. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, I'm not an orphan. Yeah, I'm not alone. I got the Helper. I'm anointed. I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. And people say, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. Well, I'm just submitting to what the Word says. If you want to come up with something else, I feel like that's arrogant. Good word, preacher. Go ahead. I believe I will. You say, why do you make them laugh? Because so they don't cry. John chapter 14, verse number 26. Says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will what? Teach you all things. And what else will He do? Bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. You have a teacher, and you have a memory. You have a rememberer. I don't know how to say that. He's going to remind you. He's going to remind you. All things that who said to you? Jesus, right? This word. You put this word in, and you go, Lord, where's that scripture? And the Holy Spirit says, this is it right here. He will remind you of what the Lord has said to you. How many have had a word from the Lord about your life? I mean, like a specific, not just, of course, in the Word, but like a prophetic word that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. You may have forgotten it, but God did not. The Holy Spirit did not. And not only did the Holy Spirit not forget you, He'll forget about it. He'll remind you of it. Not only will He remind you of it, He'll teach you about it. Not only will He teach you about it, He'll help you in the fulfillment of it. Do you see that? We just walk backwards through those verses. You do realize that. He will help you. He will show you. He is your source. We are not helpless. We are not teacherless. We are not rememberless. That's not a word. I know. I make words up. While I'm preaching, I feel like they fit well. But they add new words to the dictionary all the time anyway. So, hashtag, whatever. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is this the truth? It is to your advantage that I go away. Wow. How many think that just blessed the disciples? Jesus, no, you're not quite thinking right here. No, you messed that up. You meant to say it's our disadvantage that you go away. Come on, think about what they've walked through with Him. They've been on stormy seas and watched Him walk across the water to them. Think about this. They've been in situations where they had no food, and all of a sudden they have too much. They've watched blind eyes open. They've watched entire cities of sick people get healed. And He looks at them and says, I'm leaving, but don't worry, it'll be better for you. How many think that took faith? See, God doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. He tells you what you need to hear. See, what they're not seeing, and we wouldn't have seen it at that time anyway, either. They're not seeing what Jesus is opening up. They can't see the book of Acts. They can't see Romans and Ephesians and 1 and 2 Corinthians. They can't see 1 and 2 Peter. They can't see what God was going to do after Jesus was raised from the dead. They don't see that yet. They're having to take this by faith. But what do we know? It is to our advantage that Jesus left. It is to our advantage that he left. It is to our advantage that he moved on to heaven. Why? Because now we have what he had. We have who he is. I like that better. We have who he is. Now it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead who lives inside me. Before it was, if Mike was talking to Jesus, I had to wait till he was done so I could get my answer. Now I just go, Lord, and he says, yes. You know, like the news, those people in the news. What, Mike Pence thinks he's hearing from God? Well, that's mental disease. Well, I think not hearing from God is mental disease. Whoops, probably scared the kids down there. I think that's sanity. I think not hearing from God is insanity. We have an advantage because Jesus went away. He says this, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That word advantage means it's better for you. It means profit. See, I'm in a position that is better than if Jesus was here in the flesh. Now, you gotta fight that in your mind. How many have noticed that? Because there be people, they get in the middle of situations, and it is real pressure. You feel real emotion. It is real attack of the enemy. There is real fear. It feels like everything's going to fall apart. And people will cry out and go, Jesus, I wish you were here. And he's the one that said, it's better that I'm not there. Whew. Right? So in the middle of those situations, what do we need to do? Come on, we're the church. We're the victorious ones. We are the soldiers of the resurrection. We are the kingdom holders. We carry the resurrection within us. What is better than having the Holy Spirit with you wherever you are? Nothing. In the middle of the hospital room, you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Come on, come on, come on. In the middle of the banking problems, you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Come on. In the middle of relationship stress, you've got the Holy Spirit inside you. In the middle of husbands and wives not getting along, who is there? What do you have? You are at an advantage because you have the Holy Spirit. When your kids look like they're not doing what they're supposed to, you have an advantage. His name is Holy Spirit. And you say, well, you're just trying to wire us up. You're just trying to rile us up. You're exactly right. I'm not trying to cloak it at all. I'm being intentional in what I'm saying. The purpose is this, because most people don't stand up in the middle of their... I'm talking about Christians, not even the world, I understand. They don't even know God. Most Christians do not stand up in the middle of their situation and declare, I'm at an advantage. Come on. They don't stand up in the middle of their situation and go, we have an advantage. But we do. We do. Why? We got the Holy Ghost. John 16:7. I'm at an advantage. Jesus said, come on, you got to believe this. I'll stay on it till you believe it. I won't leave it. I'll just park there, you know. I'll set up camp, put out the tent pegs. Let's take a nap on this. Come on, I'm sleeping on that rock, you know what I mean? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is your advantage, and you have him. You have him. You have him for your family. You have him for your wife. You have him for your kids. You have him if you don't got a wife and you want one. You have him if you don't have a husband and you want one. Come on. You have him for your business. You have him for everything. And he knows everything about everything. He knows about your hospital situation. He knows about your doctor's situation. He knows about your bills. He knows about it all. And guess what? He is your helper. I'm at an advantage. And by faith, in the middle of not feeling it, I declare, the advantage is working for me. And then when people come to you and go, how do you do this? I have the advantage. How do I get the advantage? Do you take it? Is it a prescription? Is it something? Do you have to wave something over me? How do I get the advantage? You go, you receive Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit. You have the. Right? That's the way it is. Jesus said so. I don't have a better answer. John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Jesus said this, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for guiding me. You know, you can be in the middle of a situation and not know, you're trying to create a spark in your brain about what to do. You know, you're like flint and steel, you know. Come on, something happened. Work. I don't know what to do. And you feel foggy. How many of you have ever felt foggy in your brain? You feel foggy. You're looking at a situation and you're going, ah. What? How many of you have been surprise attacked by a situation? People come up to you and go, what are you going to do about this? I don't know. In the middle of that, I heard Mark Hankin say this. I thought this was so good. I think it was at Cannon Beach last year. He's preaching away. And his wife had, she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And she's good. She was at the meeting. She was singing and praising and worshiping God and preaching. It was good. Praise the Lord. God healed her. And the doctors, everybody kept, you know, people do this in stressful situations. And I understand why. But understanding why it still doesn't make it right. They'll do this. Well, what are you going to do? Don't walk into a situation where everything's gone wrong and look at the people that are in it and go, what are you going to do? That is not helping. I was dealing with a situation recently and I had no answers at all in myself. And they were asking this question, well, why? I said, look, we don't need to ask that question right now. And I got pretty much that response. Because you say, well, why did you say that? Because the Lord told me to say that. Because in the middle of a very difficult situation when everything is frazzled and it feels like it's falling apart, that is not the time that you're hearing usually clearly from the Holy Spirit unless you've developed spiritually to that point. Because Jesus showed us it could be done. He could be walking through a crowd where everybody's pushing on him so hard that the disciples, he goes, who touched me? And the disciples are going, what are you talking about, Lord? He's doing that thing again. You know, last week it was talking to bushes. This week somebody touched me. We're pressed on all sides, Lord. But what did he know went out of him? Healing anointing. Would you know if healing anointing went out of you? Right? So in the midst of this, the Lord told me. He said, don't try and answer that question, because I didn't have an answer. I said, that's not what we need to ask. What we need to do is just continue to build and grow and develop in our relationship with the Lord. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will answer the why. Have you ever been in a situation and you want to help somebody so bad but you haven't heard from the Lord? Then if you want to answer them, don't just give answers that are just kind of, you know what I mean, just out of your own head. Just tell them, look, I wish I had an answer right now, but I don't. But let's seek God and we'll get an answer. It'll be more of a help, amen? Because new doctrines develop when you don't. Well, maybe God didn't do this. Maybe. Well, how do you know what God did or didn't do? How can you tell unless you know who he is? Don't develop new doctrines. Amen? Hear from the Lord first because you're at an advantage, right? Well, I ain't getting to that other point. I can see it. He will guide you into all truth. Say it with me. I am guided into all truth. Now watch this. The Lord says, for the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to, wow. You don't need a fortune teller. In fact, if you're looking into it, stop now. Those are demons. Don't mess with them. Well, I've had my, you know, palm read and it seemed kind of right. Well, familiar spirits work. There's more than one voice functioning in the earth spiritually. John said it. There's multiple voices that are functioning. And there are people that listen to them. How many ever heard of Eckhart Tolle? He wrote a book called I'm glad most of you haven't. he wrote a book called The New Earth or something like that. And he's a spiritualist. And he believes, of course, they all believe in Jesus and everything else. The problem is, Jesus didn't believe in everything else. That's the main frustration, right? Jesus was not like, yes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. That's a limited scope, Lord. And he said what? The path is, So if you hear broad religion, what do you know? We're off the path, right? Okay, you're on a path, don't get me wrong. It's just not going to end up. It's going to end up. So when you're walking on a path and you feel like you're going downhill, time for a new path. Amen? You got to follow Jesus. So he believed all these things, and he was hearing voices. There's no question he was. The eyes are the windows to the soul, right? He had a lot of things going on inside him. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was other spirits. So stay away from those things, because Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to you. And look what he's going to do. He's going to show you things to come. And then look at verse 14. He will glorify who? Jesus. So if you are in a place where it's spiritual, but Jesus is not being glorified, you know what spirit is not there? The Holy Spirit. Amen? For he will take of what is mine and declare it to, not new doctrine. He will take of what is Jesus's and declare it to you. Amen? Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, that's a great word, because that means it's not just Jesus, it's the Father's all things as well. Because Jesus now has all things that the Father had. They all were given to him, then they were given to Jesus, and then we received Jesus, we were born again, the Holy Spirit was placed inside of us, and whatever the Holy Spirit hears, it's out of the all things that God the Father and God the Son are, and those things then are given to you. So you say, what is the point here, preacher? If you want to have success, you hear from the Holy Spirit. You are his sheep, you know his voice. Now, if you're not his sheep, you need to be born again, and we can help you with that today. Don't leave. Order now. Order now. Order now. Shipping is included. It's all free. Just order. And if you order now, well, you don't get two. You just get one. But it's enough. Amen? I think altar calls should be like commercials on TV. Infomercials. Thank you, wife. The infomercials. You know, they're showing you all the benefits and order now. They never say, would you like to order? They always tell you, do it now. It's like, whoa, what if you went to the restaurant? The server told you everything, said, order now. You might leave. Anyway, he guides us into all truth. He shows us things to come, and he takes what is Jesus's and declares it to us. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus and never himself. And we'll finish with this. We looked at it before. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Thank you, Lord. His understanding is unsearchable. Glory to God. He's one smart cookie. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak. Somebody say, I got power. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. I have increased strength by the Lord. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. It's true. I've watched them. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall and not be weary. People say, I don't want to run. When you're running with the Lord's anointing, you want to run, run, run. They shall walk and not, somebody say, I don't faint. I walk. I run. Why do you do that? Why, how can you say that? Because I don't just depend on myself. I don't just depend on my own brains, my own wit, my own ability. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith is in the resurrection of God. My faith is in what He has done for me. I believe He's working on my behalf. I believe that as I've sown seed, that it's coming back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men are bringing it to us. You say, well, that just sounds, it sounds like you're being greedy. No, it sounds like I'm quoting scripture that Jesus said was mine. I believe that by His stripes I was healed. I believe that as I follow and walk with Him, that no plague shall come near my dwelling. You say, have you ever seen anything contrary to that? Yes, because I walk by faith and not by... I believe that you and your families are increasing. I believe and I pray and I declare that you and your businesses are increasing, that your children are being grown up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they will fulfill the plan of God for their lives. Even for those who are not even born yet. Come on. You say, how can you say that? Because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Yeah, Jacob sowed seed even though, Isaac sowed seed even though at the time he was in the loins of Abraham. What does that mean? I don't want to break it down for you medically, but basically, Isaac was not born. Abraham tithed and God said, his seed's in Abraham, so I'm going to bless Isaac because he gave. I am blessing my kids, because I'm obeying. I believe the anointing is not trapped by time. That the power of God is not trapped by time. And you may sit there, you may think, well, my kids are too far gone. Don't ever say that again. You declare the word of the Lord over them. You be strong. The Holy Spirit is not limited by your conception of the situation. I know this. I've watched it happen so many times. Stand, please. I've watched it happen so many times. The Holy Spirit is dealing with your kids even when you're not. But you have to give Him your words to work with. Amen. What is it? You don't know, Sean, they're in their 40s now and they have, I know it's a tough situation, but I know somebody tougher. Amen. And you say, it's you. No, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. Amen. Father, we just thank You for today. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, that Your word is going forth in power. Lord, we are dependent on You. We are dependent on You. We are dependent on You. We are believing You. We are expecting from You. Lord, as we go this week, I thank You that we have the Holy Spirit. We are not helpless. We have a teacher. We have a helper. And we will purpose to be a doer of the word. And not a hearer only. We're going to hear from the voice of our shepherd in every detail of our lives. We extend our faith to You. And to Your word, and we are walking in it. Lord, I thank You that You're working in the situations that are under, that we're standing in faith about even now. All those requests that have gone up, we know they hit Your ears. And we know that if they hit Your ears, we have the answers. We have the petitions. That we're not stuck in darkness, that light is shining forth. We thank You for it. We bless You, Lord. You're so good to us. We honor You and thank You for everything in advance. We thank You for the testimonies that are coming forth. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for anything, don't run off without it. God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.